We welcome everyone today for our Bible study, and we are going to start out today in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 and then verse 8 through 9. And the title of today's message is Call It Grace. Call It Grace. It is a song that's out right now by a contemporary Christian group. And the lyric is, call it what it is, call it grace. It's by the group called Unspoken. But that's what I'm titling this message today. And it's basically, what is our part and what is God's part from salvation to sanctification to glorification? You know, what is our part and what is God's part? And for the last several weeks, I have been hammering what our part is. Our part is to get along with the Lord, to give Him 30 minutes in the morning or 30 minutes in the evening, are both times, and allow the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you to be your personal teacher, as we have studied, as He works with the living Word of God as you read and take in and ingest and digest. And that's your part. And what is God's part? Now, you know what God's part is? It's grace. And that's what we're going to study. So, I've been taught all about grace in my salvation. Grace is all about salvation. But I've never been taught about the gift of God, the grace of God in my spiritual growth. And I've never been taught about the grace of God at the rapture, though it's as plain as the nose on my face. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says this, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." And you hath He quickened. Who quickened you? He did. God did. It's a work of God. I didn't quicken myself. You hath He quickened. Work of God. Would you say that with me? Work of God. Say it again. Work of God. You know, that's what we're going to start looking at. We're going to repeat that several times today. Work of God or my work? And we're probably not going to say my work one time today. But if we run across something that is my work, I'll let you know. So look at what the Scripture says. You hath He quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. And then in verse 8, the Scripture says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of your own works or efforts." Nothing you yourself and I can do. It is totally a gift of God, not of any works that you can do, because then a man would have reason to boast. I mean, if some of my works were involved in it, I could say, I saved myself, Ricky Brooke. Or I could say, guess who saved me? Me and the Lord saved me, but not of any works. You say, Brother Leal, some of this is absurd, these points you're making. Oh, yeah, I'm going to make them even more absurd before it's over with. Because it's absurd to think that after salvation, we can somehow take over. And you're going to see that in a moment. Let's go to Jesus in prayer. Father, as we come today, I ask for forgiveness, total forgiveness and cleansing by the blood of Jesus of many sins that I've committed this week. And I've confessed them to you as best I can, singularly and specifically out loud, because I know your word says if I confess these things out loud alone with you, the blood of Jesus cleanses me of all sin. And Father, I need an anointing of your Spirit to serve you today. I need the power of your Spirit to change me in ways that I need to be changed, to live my life in the righteous manner of walking in Christ. So, Father, I pray for that anointing and that filling today. And I pray for your movement upon us today, Holy Spirit, as we study your word. Take over me, body, soul, spirit, and mind. Bring all my thoughts under the captivity of the Holy Spirit. And let your Holy Spirit take over the outline and the verses and everything. I don't need to help you with this sermon. I need to get out of your way with this sermon. So, Father, we pray for your power and your goodness and your love now. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen.
Now, look at what that scripture says in Ephesians 2, verse 1, and then I want you to keep your hand there. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And you has he made alive. Jesus Christ made me alive at the point of salvation. Would you say that? Jesus Christ made me alive at the point of my salvation. That's God's work. I didn't make myself alive. He made me alive. He brought me from death to life. Keep your hand in Ephesians 2, but go with me to Colossians 1. Go with me to Colossians 1. And we're going to understand grace over the next 4 or 5 weeks, the good Lord willing. And if He does not come back to get us, we're going to try to understand grace. And grace is simply, it's two things, but what we're looking at right now are grace as it pertains to God's works, God's actions, God's blessings. And they're all undeserved, and they're all unearned, and I didn't pay for them, and it has nothing to do with who I am or what I've done. It's God's grace. Okay? So it's unmerited, unearned favor. That's what grace is. If you think you got to earn it, I'm going to show you a verse of Scripture here in a minute that says you got a total misunderstanding. I'm not talking about your obedience and God blessing your obedience. I'm talking about the grace of God. Okay? This has nothing to do with you. I know this is hard for an American Christian, but let me sum it up this way. God's grace is not all about you. All right? God's grace is nothing about you other than His attitude towards you. Okay. Now, look at what it says in Colossians 1, verse 12. I give thanks unto the Father, which has made us, He made me a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, and Jesus has delivered me from the power of darkness, and Jesus has translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom I have had my redemption paid through the blood of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of my sins. Now, not a thing did you do in any of those three verses. Now, something happened to you. You got acted upon. You received redemption. You're going to learn something. When it comes to grace, you can't work for it. All you can do is receive it. Okay? Now, notice those verbs, and they're all in the active sense. They're not passive. God moving upon us. In verse 12, He made me a partaker of the inheritance. In verse 13, He delivered me out of the power of darkness. In verse 13, He transferred or translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son. And in verse 14, He paid the redemption price for my sins and purchased me forgiveness by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus did it all. Jesus paid it all. And that's good news. That's great news. Give the Lord a hand. We just want to praise Jesus that He has done all that. Now, we understand that. We've been preaching this for decades in the Bible Belt of the South, how grace is a part of our salvation. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 8, and we're going to look at verse 9. And I want to tie two concepts together, or two words together, out of Ephesians 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of any works that you can do, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, "You are His workmanship." He's the one that did the work. "You have been recreated in Christ Jesus in a spiritual way, unto doing good works, which God hath before ordained that you're going to walk in them when you are walking by His Spirit." So I want to grab this. You are saved by God's grace, and salvation is a gift. So if you're taking notes, write grace/gift. Grace always deals with gifts. You can't earn a gift. You can't pay for a gift. You can't do enough things to get a gift. A gift is something that comes to you unmerited and unearned. When it comes to a gift, the only thing you can do is receive it. Okay? That's the definition of gift. You can only receive it. And so that's why it says, for by grace are you saved. Salvation is not of yourself. Your energy or your work. That's what it means there. My energy and my work cannot gain for me salvation. There's nothing I can do to gain for myself salvation. Not of yourself, not your energy. Salvation is not achieved by any human fleshly work. Look at what he says. Look at what he says. Not of yourself, not of works. So salvation cannot be achieved by any human self work. Not. Will you just say not with me? Not. I mean, how much clearer can we be? I cannot help God save me. Now, go to Romans chapter 5. Go to Romans chapter 5. And I know you understand this. But when God delivers you from the power of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of His dear Son, that's just the beginning. Amen. You know, you didn't deliver yourself out of a destiny and going to hell to a destiny of going to heaven. And I love that. I took you to Colossians because it used that word deliver. You know, I want to praise God. I got delivered from being lost to being saved. I got delivered from going to hell to going to heaven. I got delivered from judgment to salvation. But I want you to know that's just the beginning. I can be delivered from hatred to love. I can be delivered from bitterness to being the most loving, forgiving person there is. I can be delivered from anxiety to peace. I can be delivered from fear to boldness and confidence. I can be delivered from an addiction to freedom. You don't need God to help you. You don't need to pray the serenity prayer. God, help me under... No, God, deliver me by the same power that saved me. Now, if you've never been saved, you don't know God's grace. So you're working for everything, man. You think, come to church today, Lord's got some gold star sticking up there on a chart in heaven. He don't. You can never do enough to get a gold star from God because He did it all for you. And He gave you His life. And so here we go in Romans chapter 5. And as soon as I get out of Acts, I'll get into Romans. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says this. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all sin. Now, that's a rotten deal. That's not good news. 6,000 years ago, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, biologically, Adam, sinned. And because of his sin, I was born, conceived in sin, destined as a child of disobedience to die and go to hell. That's not good news. Fallen human nature. But that's the truth. All right? By one man's sin, Adam, sin came into the world, and death by sin, and death passed on all humanity from that point forward as he got banned out of the Garden of Eden. But then you jump down here to verse 15, and it talks about the offense. Now, what was the offense? Adam disobeyed God. That was the offense. And sin and death and hell and judgment was passed on all humanity. But notice what it says. We got a but there. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. All right? Now this is good news. All right? We got an offense, but hey, 4,000 years later, there came some good news. What is that? A what? A gift? And what kind of gift? A free gift. Would you just say free gift? Free gift. Amen. All right, free gift. If I walked up on the square today and saw somebody that was just traveling through here from going from Florida to Massachusetts, and they're here on the square because they got lost. Should have stayed on I-95 to get to Massachusetts. But I don't know them from Adam's house cat. So I just walk up to them and say, I've got a brand new Lincoln Continental I'm going to give you. And I give it to them. They just got a free gift. Not because I know them, not because I love them, not because I just gave them a free gift. So we've got a free gift, for if through the offense of Adam, the whole human race was dead, much more, here we go again, the grace of God. All right, say that with me, grace of God. All right, what was behind the free gift? The grace of God. Okay? You got to understand God's grace. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. And the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, Adam sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by Adam to condemnation for all of us. The free gift covers all of our offenses unto justification. So you get saved by the free gift. Salvation is God's outright, supernatural, wholly sufficient, undeserved gift. Supernatural and miraculous. Your salvation is a miracle. It's undeserved. It's wholly sufficient. You just receive the gift. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. And you don't pay for it. Salvation is wholly and exclusively based on Christ's work on the cross. What He did. Go back to Colossians 1. Go back to Colossians 1. Let me nail this down. Boy, I've been working hard on some things, Brother Leo. Quit working. You need to work hard on getting along with Jesus. Because everybody in the world wants to work on hard stuff other than that. Because when you get along with Jesus, you find out the truth about yourself. God knows we don't want any of that truth breaking out in our lives. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says that Christ delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son and paid for our redemption with His blood and purchased us the forgiveness of sin. Now, where did Jesus Christ shed His blood? On the cross. So all this is a result. All those three or four verses there are a result of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Now, let me give you something, all right? And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm speaking for myself. I had nothing to do with the work of Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago. My strength and my effort and my blood were not required, nor was it needed. You agree with that? I wasn't even alive 2,000 years ago. So if something that happened 2,000 years ago is the only thing that can save me, and otherwise it is a free gift, then I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do with Christ's death on the cross except my sins were there. But what was achieved there, I had nothing to do with. You understand that? The victory that was achieved there, I had nothing to do. Solely God's work. Only God's work. I did not help Christ on the cross. I had nothing to do with bearing the sins of the whole world on that cross. I had nothing to do with bearing my own sins on that cross. Next time somebody says, salvation is grace plus work, say, oh, so you had something to do with bearing your sins on the cross? I had nothing to do with bearing my own sins on the cross. Totally a work of God. Totally the power of God. I mean, totally and absolutely the power of God. Nothing to do with my works. All right, now I've taught you something. I've taught you God's grace and God's gift. Grace and gift walks hand in hand. Let me show you what walks in totally opposite directions. All right. Let me show you what walks in totally opposite directions. Go to Romans chapter 11. Well, Brother Leo, you gotta have faith. You gotta believe. You gotta receive. Oh yeah, I'm not even teaching that yet. Okay.
I'm going to teach that in a minute. There is something you've got to do. I told you, it's about our part and God's part. When we get saved, as we grow in the Spirit, as we get raptured. What's going to be our part when we get raptured? Well, you know, there's a bunch of folks who don't believe in the rapture. Some of them are Christians. You say, well, Brother Lee, what are those folks going to do when the rapture occurs? Those folks that are really saved and got the Holy Spirit in their hearts, I know exactly what they're going to try to grab hold of a tree. Cement block. They're going to say, this can't be happening. I do not believe what I just saw. That's what they're going to say. Look at what it says in Romans 11, just one verse, verse 6. If your salvation is by grace, then it is no more by works. Otherwise, grace is not grace. But if your salvation is of works, then it is not of grace. Otherwise, work cannot be defined as work. Grace plus works, go ahead and scratch that one off the list. Your salvation is entirely by the grace of God, not of works. I want you to understand something. Works and grace are mutually exclusive. Dave, I asked Patty this question, and I said, Patty, you remember in high school when we were taught about mutually exclusive sets of numbers. And you know what she said? They were having a pep rally that day, and she missed that class. But what I want you to understand, but she did look cute in her cheerleading outfit. But anyway, but what I want you to understand, if you've got two sets of numbers, and this set is odd numbers, 1, 3, 5, and 7, and this set is even numbers, 2, 4, 6, and 8, I want you to understand that those are two mutually exclusive sets. There is no intersecting subset between those numbers. Everybody clear on what it means to be mutually exclusive? There is no intersection. There is no crossing of paths. There is no blending. And when it comes to grace and works, it's either by grace or it's either by works. It's not by both. And that's what Romans 11, verse 6 says. God's grace does not share anything with man's works. That's what that verse says. God's grace does not share anything with man's works. Nothing. Wondering how you get saved. I get saved by believing in what Jesus did and accepting the free gift of what He did. That's how I get saved. But I'm going to show you that in a moment. Grace totally shuts out works. Now I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Then I'm going to read you a statement, and then I'm going to read you a verse, and then I'm going to take you to another one. And I know y'all understand this and you grasp this, but I want you to understand I'm laying this foundation because this principle continues after you get saved. You don't need to help God to deliver you. You need to receive the gift that God wants to bring into your life to deliver you. You don't need to help God change you. How's that been working out, by the way? You know, last 30 years you've been trying to change yourself in a certain area. Just how's it been working out for you? You know? Hey, Brother Leo. I've not had a drink in 6 years, 4 months. 17 hours, 37 seconds. That's how it's working out. Well, tell me this. Do you want a drink? Oh, man, yeah, I'd love to have one. That ain't what I'm talking about. That's your effort. Your effort is counterfeit victory. And you know what counterfeit victory is? It's defeat. Anything counterfeit comes from the devil. So who's jerking you around in life? The devil is, Brother Leo. Or who's leading you to those green pastures and still waters? The good Lord is. Let me make a statement to you. To accept the gift of salvation, then I'm going to show you the verse, but this is it. To accept the gift of salvation, I must acknowledge and confess that Christ did something for me that I cannot do for myself. Would you grab that? Is that not beautiful? For me to accept the gift of salvation, I must acknowledge and I must confess that on that cross, Jesus Christ did something for me that I cannot do for myself. Isn't that wonderful? How about give the Lord a hand that He did that? Just give Him a hand. Now, let me say unto you, there are a lot of things you're doing today, dear Christian, that you are trying to do for yourself that you cannot do. All right, that's where we're going in this series. And the reason I know you can't do it is because you know you can't do it. You know, you do good for a little while and then bam. You do good for a little while and then bam. And you do good for a little while and then bam. That ain't what we're talking about. We are not talking about counterfeit victory here. We're talking about real victory in Christ Jesus. So this is salvation. I must confess and acknowledge that Christ did something for me that I could not do for myself. Now, before I read the verse, I just want to say this to you. There are a lot of people in religion today that wouldn't out and out disagree with me, but in their hearts they do disagree with me because they're saying this. You know, I'm a pretty good person and I'm going to heaven. I don't care what Leo Doyle says. And they would tell you that. And my religion tells me you got to do works, and I don't care what Leo Doyle says. Well, I'm here telling you today, it ain't Leo Doyle that's saying it. I'm just reading it out of the Bible. I didn't write free gift in there. Paul did under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I didn't write by grace only are you saved through faith and not of any works. Paul wrote that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I'm just reading what's been written. If your religion's got a problem, that's not my problem. You're going to have to swallow your pride and you're going to have to look some dear loved ones in the face one day and you're going to have to say, you know, I practiced that religion 40 or 50 years and you know, now that I look at the Word of God, those people are dead wrong. And that's a hard thing to overcome. A lot of people are going to go to hell because of the pride of their religion. And it was good enough for granddaddy and it was good enough for great-granddaddy. But the problem with that is the whole family's going to have a reunion in hell because you cannot be saved by works. I'm going to show you the Scriptures. But you can't. Christ had to do something I could not do for myself. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. And this is what it says. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, what does that mean, Brother Leo? You can Google this and look up 100 different translations of this. What the works of the law could not do because it was weak through the energy of humanity. You know what that's basically saying? It's saying, because I could not do enough good works under the law to save myself. God sent His only begotten Son. Made in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who believe in Jesus, because He lived a perfect life, who walked not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And I think this is correct. I think this is correct. Now, I stumble over things sometimes. I think there are 613 commandments in the Old Testament or the Levitical law. And I could be wrong on that. Am I right on that? Good deal. There are 613 commandments in the Old Testament Levitical law. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody could walk right up to me today and they could say, Brother Leo, I kept all 613 commandments. I have kept every one of them, and I wouldn't be able to do it, but my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be able to look them right dead in the eye and say, you're not telling the truth. Because God knows the heart. And it's not only those 613 works. There's this one big work that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And when Jesus says, you may not have committed adultery, but if you've ever lusted in your heart, you've sinned. And Jesus says, you may not have ever committed murder, but if you've hated in your heart, you've committed murder. And it goes on and on and on. So Jesus took this thing to a level where there is no way you can do enough good things to enter into heaven. And so that's what that Scripture is saying. We cannot, for what the law and the works of the law could not do in that it was weak through human flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness, and you've got to surrender to that, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8 of Romans 8. So then they that are working in the flesh, they cannot please God according to salvation. You can't do enough works to please God. You can't do enough works to appease God for Him to look down and say, hey, now you're saved. That's what that Scripture means. So we understand all this. It does not stop at salvation. I'm going to show you in a moment.
Look what verse 1 is of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the works of the flesh, but walk after the control or the indwelling of the Spirit. So that's the only way you can get saved. Go with me to Romans chapter 10. Well, since we're in here, we'll jump over here. So how do we get saved, Brother Lil? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says this, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and it's a confession based on a belief and a commitment in your heart, not believing about Jesus, believing in and committing and surrendering your life to Him, that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. That believe means commitment. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you might be sitting there right now and you might say, I was raised up in church. And you might be listening on the website and you might say, I was raised up in church. I believed in Jesus Christ my whole life. I believed the story of Noah. I believed Jonah. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe He came out. That word pistos just does not mean believe. There has to come a time in your life where you make a commitment to that belief and to that man, where you surrender your life. And everyone in this room, if you're claiming salvation, you ought to be able to tell me when that happened. There was a time in my life that happened, Brother Leo. There was a time in my life that happened. Because it's a free gift. You can't work for it. You have to believe and receive and make the commitment. Go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and look at what the Scripture says. Grace. It's all grace. I'm going to show you something that blows your mind in a minute, and we'll be closing out a little bit early, hopefully, good Lord willing. John chapter 6. He's talking to some Pharisees. They're calling Him Rabbi in verse 25. And there are some rabbis and some Pharisees and some Sadducees, some Jewish guys that have always been under the law. And so this question gets asked in John 6, verse 28. Well, let's go to verse 27. Jesus says, labor not or work not for the meat which perishes, but work for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. So Jesus tells them, you've got to do some work to get eternal life. You've got to do some work. The old man in their ears, pick up now. And so they say unto Him, well, Lord, what shall we do that we might work all the works of God? Sound like the rich young ruler. Lord, I never have done this. I never have done that. You know what else I need to do? He named 6 or 7 things He'd never done. Just wanted to know if the Lord had 2 or 3 more He wanted to add to the list. And hey, wham, bam, I'll knock those 3 or 4 out. We're good, Jesus. And that's how people look at it. So these fellows are asking the same thing. Well, give us the list. You know, go to church every Sunday. Put your money in the plate when the man comes by. Don't take anything out when the man comes by. You know, it's a whole list that you can come up with. And notice what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the work. You know that word's ergo. This is the human energy that you need to have. This is the energy of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. Because it's a gift of grace. There is not one single word. Oh, I got to be baptized. Oh, no, you don't got to be baptized. You ought to be baptized to tell the world what God did in your heart. And you're going to want to be baptized to tell the world what God did in your heart. That proves to you and to your brothers and sisters in Christ that something real happened in your heart. I'm worse than Trump. I personally respond to the people that attack us through our website. I don't need a Twitter account. We picked up another website following us last week, Tim. I don't know if you're aware of that. I don't know what any of this means.
But they're now a follower of us to criticize us. But anyway, so that is the work of God. Look at the work. You want to do a work? Believe.
Well, enough's a work.
Sure enough, you're going to say, okay, all right. Well, then baptism's not a work. Water baptism's not a work. Going to church is not a work. None of those things you want to add to salvation is a work. The only work, the only ergo, the only energy, anero in the Greek that we are to have is a mental and a will work. A work of the self-will, a work of our mental, which is to believe and receive as we commit to Jesus Christ. Go with me quickly to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And let's just go on with this. And I know y'all get this, but I want to reestablish it because we're about to carry it into... You say, Brother Leo, I've dealt with this thing all my life. Well, God's ready to deliver you from it. You got to believe in His power. You can't do it on your own. You can do every little trick and come up with different things, and those things may help you a little bit, but you got to believe in the grace of God. I'm talking about the actions of the grace of God by which He bestows His power and blessings on your life that has nothing to do with your works, but with your belief and reception. And you show that by getting alone with Him every day and allow Him to start working these things. But look at what it says in Romans 4, verse 5. But to him that works not, would you just say that? To him that works not. Would you say it again? To him that works not. Well, that's unreal. To him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, that's Jesus, his faith is all he needs to get him accounted righteous in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Isn't that powerful? I am saved by my faith in what God did. I'm not saved in anything I did. I'm saved in what God did. And I want to praise God today. God did something for me at Calvary. I want to praise God today. God did something for me when He saved my soul. And I want to praise God today. He still wants to do stuff for me because Philippians 1:6 says, He that did the first good work in you, He's got a bunch of other good works He wants to do for you and in you. Yeah. And you got to believe and expect so you can receive them. You know, your loved one doesn't need counseling. Your loved one needs a deliverance. Your loved one doesn't need to come to church on Sunday. It'll help to come to church, but they need a miracle from God, and you and I need a miracle from God. And I'm teaching this just to the Christians now. If you're not saved, you've got to get saved first. And then we get in on that. But look at what it says in Romans 5. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Jump back to verse 4. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. To him that works, the reward of salvation is not reckoned or not concluded or added up as a result of a gift of grace, but of a debt. Now I owed a debt and Jesus paid it. I did not pay my own debt. I cannot take credit for anything Jesus Christ did on the cross. And so I can't boast about my salvation. I want to tell you something. Anybody that thinks they're in a religion that's a work-based religion where they've added works to grace, they're also in a religion that probably thinks they're the only ones going to heaven. Why? Because they think they have earned this right and this status. I want to tell you something. You can't get any lowlier or humbler or debased or ashamed than to fall on your face and say, there's not a thing I can do for myself. My best works are filthy rags, and I appreciate and praise you eternally, Lord, for what you did for me. You're not going to be a judgmental Christian when you realize it is all by grace. And if not for God's grace, there I go. And that keeps you where God wants you, in a humble state.
So your salvation is based on grace. Entirely on it. There's not a thing you did on the cross. Let me show you another great event in your life. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm going to move quickly here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let me show you what's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read verse 16. And we'll be closing out. Not going to get to page 2. We'll get to page 2 next week. If we don't, that means Lord came and got us. Going to do what we're reading about here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16, look at what it says. Every one of these verbs is not my action, but the Lord's. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I'm not going to help Him descend, and I'm not going to be the one shout. All right? There's going to be the voice of an archangel, that is not me, and somebody going to be blowing the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, snatched up by the power of God, because the Holy Spirit's in our heart, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever in the air. Now I want to see, do you agree with this statement? The dead don't raise themselves out of the grave, and we don't spring ourselves up into the air to meet the Lord. So this work is totally done by what? The power of God. It's going to totally be done. So the beginning of my salvation is done totally by the power of God. The end of my salvation is going to be done totally by the power of God. It is God's grace. It is not by man's works. When that trump sounds, I am not going to use my power to raise myself from off the face of the earth in some kind of catapult position. I am going to be snatched away totally by the power of God acting upon me as a result of His grace. It's solely His work. So the beginning of my salvation is based on God's grace. The end of my salvation is based on God's grace. So let me close out with what we're going to look at next week. Go to Romans chapter 6. Because we're stuck here in the middle. We have been saved. We have not yet been raptured. We've got peace, and it's all God's power. It's going to take care of us. In Romans chapter 6, verse 11, the Scripture is talking about your salvation. Let me read this to you. Likewise, I want you to reckon ye yourself. You know, figure this out in your mind. To be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So through Jesus Christ my Lord, I was dead in my sins, but I was made alive unto God. That's salvation, right? At salvation, I am saved from the penalty of my sins. Right? Death, judgment, and hell. The death of my sins to being made alive through God. It is by God's grace that this happens. It is the gift of salvation. And it's based on His divine work on the cross. Because that was a miracle what He did on the cross. He carried the sins of all humanity for all time. What kind of miracle is that? And that His blood cleanses all those sins? And then His Spirit gives eternal life to everyone that will be saved and they'll live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? That is beyond the bounds of human comprehension. That powerful of spirit, that powerful of blood, that powerful of body on that cross could bear all those sins. So salvation is a divine miracle, the work of salvation. So at salvation I am saved from the penalty of sin. But notice what verse 1 of Romans 6 says. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? That grace may abound? After you get saved, are you going to continue in sin? I got saved at salvation. I'm going to get raptured at the end.
So as I'm living in between, I need a word for this. So in verse 12, he says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." Look at verse 6 at the end. It says, "The body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." That sin should not have dominion, rule, or authority over your life. Now, what's going to solve that? Verse 9. Death hath no more dominion over us. We know that. But notice what he says. In verse 13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Next week we've got to figure out, how do you yield? But before we figure that out, let me show you the answer to the whole thing. Why is sin not going to rule in your life? Verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion or power or authority over your life." Why? Because number one, you are not under the law. Now, what I want you to write there, where it says under the law, write where your works are required. Okay. When we're under the law, our works are required. Okay, you understand that? Under the Old Testament law, every Sabbath they had to do certain things. Every holy day, every time they sinned, they had to get a goat or a lamb. You were under the law. So for sin to not have authority over my life, certain sins, besetting sins, stronghold sins, the first thing he wants you to understand to get this victory, your works are not required. You are no longer under the law, but you are under grace. Now, under grace, I want you to put where God does the work. I hope I've established that today. Where God does the work. On the cross, God did all the work. Okay. Brother Lil, we need to work on our marriage. Well, I'm going to disagree with you. You need to let God work on your marriage. You need to let God do a work in your marriage. Brother Lil, I'm working on my attitude. You know, boy, I did good. I bit my tongue. No, you didn't do good. You want your tongue changed by God. You want a miraculous work? Well, you don't have to bite your tongue, Christian. The changes with Jesus are on the inside. Now, look at what he says. You are not under the law where your works are required. You are under grace where God does the required work. And what God does the work and your faith is required. Well, wait a minute, Brother Leo. What do you mean my faith required? When you got saved, you had to believe that at the moment you made that commitment unto Jesus, He was going to save you. You expected Him to save you. You expected Him to do that work. And man, you came forward or wherever it happened, you felt peace. You felt like a big burden got lifted off of you. You felt this experience. Well, I want you to understand, after your salvation, if there's something you're dealing with in your life, you've got to come to a place where you've got to start expecting God to do the work. The same way He did salvation, where you know, this thing's out of me. It's gone. I've been feeling this way 20 years. I don't feel this way anymore. God did a work. God did a work. It's just like when He'll snatch me off the face of the earth. God did a work. It's just like when He carried my sins on that cross. I don't know how in the world He did it. It was 2,000 years ago. But God did a work. And you know what we call it? We call it grace. Joyce Meyer says, "I don't say move mountain. I walk up to the mountain and I say grace." I say grace. I say grace. And that's where we're going next week. How the grace of God delivers us from the power and authority that sin has over our lives. We know how grace works at salvation. We know how it works at glorification. we've got to learn how God's grace works at sanctification, which is a big old word for spiritual growth and victory in the life of a Christian. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a moment. Judy's going to play softly. And as she does, I'm going to ask you to think about one stronghold in your life where you need the grace of God to do a work and change you. Where you need the grace of God to do a work in your life and give you a victory. Where you, and I'm going to tell you, we're going to line those things up like dominoes as we go over the next 4 or 5 weeks. And we're going to see the power of God at work in the life of the Christian as they grow in the Spirit. So for a few short moments, let's just meet with Jesus about one thing. Where you're already convincing yourself, God's not going to do this. My friend, God wants to do it. God is able to do it. You just got to find the key to unlock the door of receiving what He's got for you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's go to the Lord in prayer.